Lessons that you continue to give us each and every day. Thanks so much for our church family that we have here at West End, that we can gather together and study your word. We ask that you be with us this morning as we're going through this class, and that we always take what is presented to us and that we apply it to the way that we parent our children, and help us understand the importance of the job that we've been given to raise the kids and to lead them towards you. Be with us the rest of this service today and tonight and this week as we go back to work, and help us always shine a bright light in this dark world. And it's for our sin, it's Christ's name. Amen.
So yeah, we're navigating the passage of life and using God's word as our compass and trying to help each other as we take that trip. And that's what this class is about. It's about things we learn from God's Word, things we can learn from one another, and then how we go about trying to apply that in our lives every day. So, does everybody like to hear the truth? I mean, does everybody like to hear the truth? Do the people that come before you like to hear the truth?
They usually avoid the truth.
Okay. And why is that, Judge?
Well, they have their own perception.
Yeah, they've colored their own idea of what they think the truth is, right? Well, what about us? Can we do that? I got a yes and a no. tell me what that means. How can we color our own truth? How? Come on. I can stand here like this all day. Trust me.
When there's something in God's Word that is difficult for you to submit to, and you kind of fight against it, but you can clearly read what it says, but you make up your own interpretation of it to avoid trying to submit to it.
Okay. just kind of a little bit of denial, right? You're aware, but you're kind of denying it.
James said we can look in the mirror and see who we are and then walk away and forget. So we come in class and we think about all these things and go, oh, those are great ideas, and then we go home and do the same thing we've always done.
Right. Yeah. It's so easy to see something for the way that it is, but at the same time, just not give it any recognition whatsoever. And why do we do that? Why do we do that? Why do we do what she's talking about in James?
Pride.
What?
Pride.
Pride? We want what we want, don't we? I mean, don't you kind of want what you want? And sometimes, maybe you'll bend the rules just a little bit to be able to make it be okay from your perspective. That's real easy to do. Today's lesson is about, do the inmates run the asylum? And really, here's part of what we're going to talk about in today's lesson. I waited to give these out. So, somebody come help here. John Mack, draw mine, just pass those out to everybody, please. And we talked about this a little bit, but this is going to continue to be a theme. And this is fundamental to how we go about being the best parents we can be. Is understanding authority, law, boundaries, and consequences. And how does this get executed in the world that we live in today? How does this get executed in the world that we live in today? Is this applicable to the world? Forget the Bible. Yes? How?
Self. Everything's self.
What?
We're under authority, our own law.
Okay. But from a world standpoint, from the world that we live in standpoint, what about this stuff?
Police.
What?
The police, law enforcement.
Law enforcement. Why do they have, John, why do y'all put speed limit signs up on the road?
For safety?
Yeah. Is that kind of a suggestion? We think maybe it'd be good if you go 55 here.
I may be a bit of a mess.
Okay. All right. Well, what's the concept? Let's go at it that way. What's the concept? Why is it 55 or 35 or 45? Why is it that way?
To set a boundary,
because it's been determined that based on that circumstance and that location, that it's best if everybody drive this speed, right? What about our legal system? Does this apply to our legal system beyond the speed limit? What about the laws of man? Are there boundaries that we have to watch there too? And if people don't stay within the boundaries of the law and they circumvent authority, then there's consequences to live by. And you know, the kinds of matters that David handles, they end up in his court. And then based on his knowledge of the law, he has to make a decision about what's going to happen with those individuals. All right? Now let's go back to the very beginning. Genesis. A very good place to start. Sounds like Dobre Faso. He doesn't. But anyway, so from this perspective right here, how does that apply to Genesis 2nd chapter verses 15 through 17? What does it say in Genesis? Somebody read Genesis 2, 15 through 17. Y'all wake up this morning. Y'all are, come on, let's go. Genesis 2, 15 through 17. Somebody read that.
And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat freely, But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die.
So what we got there? We got authority in God. We've got kind of a law that he's laid down there. He's told them what the boundaries are. And then he's also told them what the consequences are going to be. Have you ever thought about that verse that way? Have you ever thought about God's interaction with Adam and Eve in that way? He's the authority. He's established the law. He's defined the boundaries, and he said there's consequences to not doing what I say for you to do. So the question is, how well do we do that with our kids? How well do we do that with our kids? And that's why we came up with that title. Do the inmates run the asylum? Have you ever been out in public and you see other people and they've got their kids with them? And most, if you know, let's say it's at a retail location or it's at a restaurant or different situations like that. And you look at that whole deal of what's going on and you think, wow, who's in charge? Have y'all ever seen that before? Have you ever been in that position before? Has it ever been you? Where you're kind of saying, wow, who's in charge? Are we in charge or are the kids in charge? You've got to let them know who's in charge. You've got to have the law that you live by. You've got to have boundaries for them, and then you've got to have consequences. If any of these things are missing, how does it work?
Not well.
Not very well. Andy, do you have boundaries and law and authority at school?
Oh, yeah. You have to have that structure.
Why is it important?
Because it would be chaos.
Mass chaos, right? And then consequences, too. I mean, whoever likes to be... Well, you don't have to raise your hand. Anybody ever get sent to the office because you didn't do these things like you were supposed to? Terry did. I did. I was an artist. And I put my skills to work learning how to sign other signatures. But I was mentored by upperclassmen, of course, to take over a practice that was previously instituted by other people. But I just saw it as an artistic endeavor. But the assistant principal didn't see it that way. Because that was my assignment. I had his down pat. And so guess what? I ended up in the office at one point for that. And it was a great learning experience for me. Because he threatened to take me to court and everything. I mean, I didn't know what he could or couldn't do, but... And then I saw the backside of his 2-inch paddle with holes in the middle of it for ventilation on contact. It was a great learning experience for me. Never do that again. What about Adam and Eve? How did they do with authority, law, boundaries, and consequences? What, John?
Not
good. So what was the, what about 21 through 25? Genesis 2, 21 through 25. Oh, excuse me. He first of all, he asked, you know, he made a helpmeet. Eve was to be a helpmeet for him. In Genesis 3, 1 through 7. So they're a partnership. They're supposed to be working together. They're supposed to be making things the way they needed to be based on what God said. And then what happens in 3, 1 through 7? Somebody read that. Matt, you got it. Why don't you read that?
3, 1 through 7.
3, 1 through 7, yes.
Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, 'You must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat fruit from the garden, from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. The eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves.
Okay, so tell me the problems that you see there based on what we're talking about. Authority, law, boundaries, and consequences.
Well, I think initially, you know, we said they didn't do very good with this, but I think initially they did do good with it. It says in verse 25, they were both naked and they felt no shame. I think that they were within the boundaries of God, and they were kind of following what he wanted to do.
Started out there.
It was going well.
Yeah.
And then obviously the serpent came in and deceived them.
So describe that. So relate that to us today and the role of parents.
That's a big question.
Yeah, I know it is. That's why I asked you.
Well, it was black and white. And then Eve was led to believe that there was a gray area.
These markers. Yeah, so God's rule of authority was black and white. But Satan made her believe that it was gray. I got something else I'm going to give you here in a minute. What else? That's good.
What was the wrong authority, first of all?
Okay.
They obviously took advice from somebody else.
Yeah, when we were reading, I was thinking about how when Jesus would say, you've read that the law says this, but I say this, it's not, you know, he had the authority to be able to, for lack of a better word, change the law.
Yeah.
Satan didn't have that authority.
Somebody else up here? No? David?
When he says, you shall not surely die, I can almost hear Satan says, you won't. You're not going to die. Come, let me show it to you.
Yeah.
And, she was really an easy mark, at least from what is revealed to us. She was an easy mark for him, and Adam was too.
Yeah. Okay, so what else?
The consequences were minimalized.
Okay.
Kind of going with along what David just said.
Whatever, minimalized. Joey.
We talked about this in the high school and the middle school classes quite a bit, the Adam and Eve concept of sin and how, you know, surely it won't kill you. Well, when these kids go to school, we have to be aware as parents that they're going to be around kids that sin and there's nothing happening to them. There's no consequences happening. So what's the kid's concept then? Maybe mom and dad's wrong, this kid's doing it and getting away with it, it's okay for me.
This kind of goes back to this right here, sin defined by the wrong authority, or having choices about where that authority for what's wrong is going to come from, right? So if you get two different sets, this is what they said, this is what they said. It's kind of the whole thing with Eve and Adam and Eve and God. Yes, Matt.
Satan redefined the boundaries.
Yeah.
Something that was completely opposite to what God
did
with them.
Well, he said what was evil was good.
Yeah, he redefined the boundaries and he flipped it, basically. But what was he playing on?
Our naiveness.
Okay.
She had trust. Which I guess is not necessarily naivety, but...
Okay. I'll agree with that. There's something else I'm looking for, though. Yes, go ahead.
Well, he was going off with a good motive of her. Like, if you do this, you'll be like God. That's a good motive that she probably had. Oh, I'll be like God, okay. So he went off that.
So motivation. But it's also playing off of what she wanted. It's like, hey, that looks good. I want some of that. and somebody is willing to make it okay, then you roll with it.
Yeah, I've wondered this before, and I don't know the answer, but I've often wondered about this. When God said, you shall surely die, I wondered, what was their concept of that?
Right.
What did that mean? And they had to have some kind of understanding. But the truth of the matter is, let's just assume for a moment that she really didn't understand it. The same thing happens with our kids all the time. When we give them rules to follow for their own safety, and they don't know why they're rules. They just need to follow them. Like when the stove is hot.
Yeah.
Or getting playing in the street, in traffic, and things like that. They don't have a concept, may not have a concept of why that is okay, but when their friends do it, they won't touch the stove, but they may play in the street.
Right.
And then our kids will think, well, Joey didn't get hurt, or Jimmy didn't get hurt.
That's why they got to respect your authority. That's why they've got to know you've told them it's the way it is for a reason, that you want them to stay within those boundaries and that there will be consequences if they do them. It's got to be, one of the survey questions that keeps coming back to my mind that y'all answered was consistency. And y'all said that's something that you felt like you could do better with. I'm telling you, consistency is absolutely critical. Absolutely critical. Because if you don't stay consistent with these things right here, they will wear you out for what they want just to see if you'll break. That's what they want. They want to see if they can get you to give way. And you've just put in a 12-hour day, let's say, Matt, and you're getting hammered by your sweet, lovable children. Right? And it's whether you're going to stay firm or not. I mean, those are the things we got to remember. What about Adam in this situation? We focused on Eve. What about Adam in this, all of this that we're talking about? What about him?
He's a slug.
How'd he do?
He was a slug.
How'd Adam do?
I think it's like kids. If Ava does something and she doesn't get caught, Eli will immediately do the same thing.
Okay. Yeah, no, kids follow kids. I mean, you know, and it's whether or not it gets dealt with number one, as to whether or not number two's going to give it a try. Adam was, David said he was a slug. What do y'all think? What do y'all think about Adam? No leadership.
No leadership. He blamed his wife for his behavior.
Yeah. And God says, what have y'all done? He said, well, what did he do immediately?
Point to the woman.
It's the woman that you gave
me. The woman that you gave me gave it to me. Huh. I mean, you made this mess, God, not me. You gave her me, and now it's not my fault. Not willing to accept responsibility for lack of leadership and the decision that he made. What could he have done? Let's say she went ahead and ate the fruit, and then she goes to give it to her husband. What could he have done? He could have said no. He could have said no. God said we're not supposed to do that. Let's go to him now and see what we can do to try and work this out. Men, if we're not providing leadership for our families, there's no way this is going to work. And if mom tries to do this by herself, there's no way it's going to work. It can't. How can it? If mom and dad are not on the same page, how can this work? It doesn't. Adam and Eve weren't on the same page. Well, they were in a wrong way. He didn't provide any leadership. She didn't follow she didn't believe in God's authority, or she wouldn't have she wouldn't have got the ball rolling. So you've got to establish yourself as authority. The first part of number one there, E, question. What can we learn from the strength of unity in our marriage, the importance of trust, and consequences associated with actions from the example of Adam and Eve? What's the takeaway from what we just talked about? What are you going to do to make sure that doesn't that you respect the authority like you need to, that you're committed to law, you've identified boundaries, and that you're going to make sure the consequences get executed? What are you going to do? What can we learn from them in a very simplistic way to say this is what we're going to do? Okay, consistency is, it's number one. I agree. I think consistency in defining and executing. Anybody, anything else?
There's got to be communication, because you have, like, when you're on the same page and you've communicated the expectations and the consequences among the parents.
Yes.
Then I know they're, when I say no, they're going to go to Joey and ask the same question.
Right.
And so when there's that communication among the parents, the answer is going to be consistent. And then eventually the kids are going to say, well, they said no. I don't have to go
right
back and forth. I know what the answer is going to be. But the communication there, like, and I think Adam and Eve, if you've got to know who your spouse is.
Okay.
And you can't assume. Like, I had, my whole degree was early childhood and elementary. There was things that I know, but that wasn't Joey's background. That wasn't his training. So, like, we had to communicate, this is how you do this, because this is the best way to do it.
My training was as a mechanic. It doesn't get fixed, you get a bigger hammer.
Yeah. So y'all just implemented those two things together, the hammer and the other part. So yeah, I mean, you do. Communication's critical. I'm telling you, and if anything is critical to a marriage, a church, or a business, it's communication. And anytime communication fails is where you start having gaps and problems, and I mean, Michelle, think about your business where you're dealing with fresh produce all the time and fresh fruits all the time. I mean, you got a window of time, right? And isn't communication really important in that business? To the customers, hey, come get this, we got fresh whatever, or delivery of products or whatever it might be. And it's true in every kind of business, personal relationship, and in our relationship with God. What about our communication with God and His communication with us to that point? He communicated with Adam and Eve, didn't he? They failed to listen. What about us today? God communicate with us? 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says what? All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, is profitable for reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Do y'all believe that? If we really believe that, then we listen to what He says, and we figure out how to take it and apply it to our lives as individuals, as parents, to our children. And you know, I don't care what kind of job you're in, moms, dads. I don't care what kind of vocational work you're pursuing. There's not anything any more important than what you're doing as a father or a mother to your children. Nothing more important. Because like David pointed out here last class, well, several classes ago, the last quarter, you got them for 18 summers. And you know, I know I've been guilty of letting work get in the way sometimes in the past when our kids were growing up, of not spending the time that I really needed to. Because I always wanted to make sure that we provided for the family, that I provided for the family. And Jenny did what she needed to do. But you know, it's like you don't get it back. All you can do is try to do the best you can as you move forward and tell other people. Right? So those are important things as it relates to these relationships that we have with one another and how we're going to live. Down there in point I, well, in point H on that first page, it says John Rosemond believes that family should exercise family government and the parents become the benevolent dictatorship, offering a balance of love and authority to their children. It's not tyranny. Benevolent dictators are authoritative, not authoritarian. They do not demand unquestioning obedience. They encourage discussion, but the final decision is with you. You make the final decision. You help them understand who the authority is. God's law is the final rule in the lives of Christians. I want to look at some of those scriptures right now. Proverbs. And y'all go ahead and start kind of looking some of these up and let's read them. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Somebody read that and go to the next one too. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths.
Yes. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14.
The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil.
Yeah, so everything we do, we got to fear God and keep His commandments. John 14, 15. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Let's go to Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Somebody read that one. Matthew 7. 13:14.
Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few.
So Adam and Eve, they were looking for their own answers. You know, they were kind of wanting it to be the way they wanted it to be. 21 says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father in heaven. We've got to be committed to God's word. We've got to be working to try and take it and apply it to our lives the very best we can. James 1:22.
But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves.
Yeah, so it's got to be something that we're working at executing in our lives every day, and we've got to be committed to that to the very best of our ability. And like I say, when you're thinking about authority, laws, boundaries, and consequences, think about 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, the fact that it gives us everything that we need to know. Okay, next page there. Point J, if the discussion does not go the way the child desires or believes that it should, then you, as the law, the authority, the head of the family government, makes the decision. If they, the child, objects and do not agree with your decision and ask for explanation, you promptly say what? Is it time for more discussion? Is it time to get into the, you know, the details of that dialogue?
Most of the time, no. It's because I said so.
Because I said so. The BISS principle. Because I said so. Or the BIYM or BIYF. What's that mean?
Because I'm your mother, because I'm your father.
Yes. Because I'm your father, because I'm your mother. Is there anything wrong with that?
No.
If you're the authority, if you're in charge, if you've tried to act, you know, engage them in conversation, there's not anything wrong with that. So what about, then let's go over to Proverbs 13 and 24. David, this is the one that we said we needed to talk more about. Proverbs 13, 24, what does it say?
He who opposes his bride hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently.
What does that mean?
Fairly without a spoiled child.
Okay. What does that mean?
Maybe to be introduced to the Board of Corrections.
I was. It was very effective. That was not, well, that's the first time at school, but at home, there was this one bush out back that my mother would go and get the limb off of, and she'd strip all the leaves except for the ones for about 6 inches. And then I'd get it right across the back of my legs, right there. When other correction did not work, Kim was talking about the Board of Correction, so that's what I got. My dad was more of the hammer man, kind of to Joey's mechanical tendencies there. And it was a little bit more, it was a little heavier duty stuff. I mean, it is really bad, and I'm not saying this is right, but I'm just saying, you know, you got it pretty good there. So what about the Board of Correction, as Kim called it?
It's showing that disciplining is actually showing love to them.
Okay.
Not hate.
Okay. What else? I don't disagree with that.
Whether it's physical discipline or something in another form, it's a consequence to what your action is.
Right. You know, and different kids are motivated different ways, right? There's your early development child training, Kim, right? Some you can just talk to them. Or it's a look, or it's a tone of voice. Others, it's more. Right? I see Michelle shaking her head. So you got three. Are they all different in that way?
I couldn't wait for her until she was black and blue, and she'd just be like... So it's taking something away from her. Hers is just sending her to her room by herself. Doesn't like to be isolated.
Okay.
So taking her away from the situation just crushes her. And Anderson, all you've got to do is look at her and she just falls apart.
Yeah. So it's knowing your children and knowing what works and what doesn't work too, right? But it's still, this is still all the same. It's just how you go about applying it. Any other points on that one? Making your rules based on what? Okay, terrible twos. Why do they call it the terrible twos?
It's terrible.
Because it's terrible! It is terrible. Why is it terrible? Why do you think it's terrible?
They get a mind of their
own. Ah! They're growing a brain. They get a mind of their own. What else? What are you
saying? I'm no expert. Everybody else has got at least 2 minutes.
Yeah. So what have you found? When did that start transitioning?
His birthday.
It's like, I'm 2 now, and I'm supposed to do this.
They somehow know his birthday. I don't know.
And then it was just like, well, let me see what I can get away with.
Yeah.
Right. Y'all found that? Anybody else say amen? Can I get an amen?
Yes. That's why we moved to the front of the room.
Front of the room. Yeah. Well, what would you say? When they get to the terrible twos, what have you got to do? And again, John Rosemont says, if you don't get a hold of it right now, when they're 2 or 3 years old, then here's what their future is. Here's little Johnny or Susie or whatever. And... That's their picture. It reminds me of Back to the Future. And Marty McFly has got, everybody knows the movie, right? And Marty McFly goes back in time. You know what I'm talking about? And he goes and he sees his uncle and he's in a playpen on the floor. And the kid's got a hold of the bars of the playpen and he says something like, get used to it. Whatever. Funny point, but the fact of the matter is, and now that won't erase, so that'll just be up there permanently as a distant reminder of the terrible twos. But here's the thing that you got to remember: you got to get a control of it now. And how do you get in control of it now? All this stuff right here, and doing it consistently. What do you do when you're tired and they just persist? Joey.
You talk about starting when they're young. Just go back to that real quick.
Yes.
Yeah, they got to know who to fear.
Yes.
They got to know that we love them, but they got to know who to fear. Our old principal came through the line at our father-in-law's funeral, my father-in-law's funeral this weekend.
Yes.
And I was still scared of the guy. And you know, Kim's dad, 63, before he passed away, we were talking about how he was still scared of the guy. And it was just because he had that look and he had that authority about him. Well, as parents, we've got to have that type of effect on our children. And if you step out of line, there's going to be consequences. Too many people are afraid, well, if I discipline them, then they won't love me. They won't know that I love them. No. If you discipline them the right way, and then afterwards, I've had my kids come up to me after discipline them and say, I'm sorry, I know I did wrong, and I deserve that.
Kids want boundaries. That's important to know, moms and dads. If you're at the 2 or pre-2 or whatever, they want boundaries. Again, somebody said it already, but defining boundaries lets them know that you do love them.
We by far are experts in any way, but years ago when Kay was a baby, if you were attending here, you know, he cried. He had colic for 9 months, and it was very seldom that I got to sit in the auditorium for any length of time.
Okay.
And we went to visit some family who had a child very close to Kay's age, and went to bed, slept all night, got up, and the mother made a comment. She's so high maintenance. That just swears me out.
Yeah.
And Joey, like, physically reaches out and grabs my arm. He's like, just don't. This was the perfect baby, never nothing, you know, lay her down, sleep all night, get up, da da da. But seeing how things transpired, she's lazy. She didn't want to have to do anything other than, I don't want to get up one time during the night. I don't want to do this. This baby is kind of an inconvenience for how my routine was. And now that child is a similar age as Kay, you know, there's not been consistency. And that's, the mom has not been like right there watching over, checking, and there's issues occurring now.
Yeah.
That child's high maintenance now, where Kay can be out of my sight, but I have trust that he's going to make the right decision about things.
Yes.
Or come to us.
Yes. So, you got to set the rules. You got to have boundaries. You got to, and I'm going to get to both of you. But here's what I want you to do. Before Wednesday night, go through the rest of my handout, and I'll do that on Wednesday night. And David's got a second set of handouts that he'll start with on next Sunday morning and go Wednesday night, because this is a big one, and we've dedicated 4 classes to it. So do that, Brian, and then Matt.
I think Brandon's probably been tore up in every single room in this building. That was unfortunate when he was little, but Joey's right. Like, he has to know, because it's looking into his future. He needs to know to fear God, and who has the authority, and to know to fear and respect who has the authority. And I mean, Curtis has handled on that point lots of times. One thing that this may not have been. It may not have been a good thing to do, I don't know, but every time I did have to discipline Braden afterwards, right afterwards, not, I would always pull him in and hug him and tell him how much I loved him and tell him, I would try to explain to him why, maybe people disagree with it, but I wanted him to understand there was a reason for the consequence.
I think the importance is for them to know where the authority for what you do comes from, and that you do love them, and it's what God's expectation of you as a parent. In Ephesians 6:1-3 that I've got listed with point 2 there on page 2. You've got a responsibility to him as their authority, as their parent, to help them understand the law, define the boundaries, and then give them the consequences. So it's all on you. Matt.
I definitely agree with discipline. I'm not going to make this statement by saying that we aren't supposed to discipline.
Sure.
But I think we need to effectively discipline. What I mean by that is that we just can't beat our kids for the sake of beating them.
Right.
If you read in Ephesians 6, it talks about fathers not provoking your children to anger. I think you can make your kids angry by disciplining them ineffectively. And what I mean by that is I'll give you an example. So Levi is at the